And this is the world of human anatomy of blood, the second heaven, right over here. This is the second heaven. And then there is a third heaven, which is the human spirit, right over here. This is the human soul in the middle here. This over here is the human body, represented by the human body, right over here. This is the human body. All right, you say, well, what need is that for me to know that? I'll show you when Cain offered up what he did. This is the human body right here. But what a world of vegetation. This is the human soul right here. The blood rim. The rim of blood. That's why you see doctors and all those always messing with human anatomy. But have you noticed that of late that people are losing interest in human anatomy and they're beginning to become astronauts? You notice that? They're getting more interested in the heavens. Because we're moving through that. Brother Branham marked the end of that. We're moving through it. Now we're over here in this astronaut age, which is the heavenly age, the spiritual age. So then they're interested in the heavens. And right here, over yonder, they was interested in the earth to see how much cotton and corn they could grow. Finally, that went out with our fathers. And over here, they got interested here in the human realms of the human anatomy. They wanted to break it down, and they broke it down from every way that you could break it down. It'd take me months to go through it. What God has really placed in my heart, He showed me about it. And over here, and what I'm doing, if I get the basic principles over to you, then God can teach you anything. And over here, this is the heavenly realm. They're messing with the stars and the heavens. Because the Bible said in Genesis that God set in the heavens the sun and the moon and the stars for signs and for seasons. Those represent signs and represent seasons. That's the reason these astrologers can do what they can do. That's the reason the wise men knew that Jesus was born. We've got a message we teach on the sign of the Son of Man, how that they knew by the stars that He was born. It's here somewhere on tape. A lot of these things I won't teach because they're on tape and you can get them. But right here, this is the spiritual age right here. This is the Protestant age. This is the angelic age. This is the age of spirit right here. All right? This is the perfecting of the Spirit. Now, I don't want this to get confusing to you, so I want you to listen. This is first. The Bible said the Jew first. This is first. The Catholic is second. And then this Protestant is third. That's 1, 2, 3. Now, when you go to get your spiritual revelation, you're going to have to go just exactly backwards. From here to here to here. Now, listen real close so it won't get confusing. Each end, the Jew, the spiritual Jew, the natural Jew, they parallel together. That is, they run side by side in their revelation. They run side by side. Whatever the natural Jew does in the natural, the spiritual Jew also does in the spirit. But now listen, it will be exactly 3 years behind. 3 years behind, because this shows the bride taken out of the Gentiles, and a woman reaches maturity 3 years before the man does. She's ready for wedlock at 18, and the man, which is the Jew, is ready for wedlock at 21. Are you staying with me now? Now you say, Brother Pike, do you expect us to remember that? No, I don't expect you to remember it, but if you listen, give a thought pattern, see, of it, and then write it down. These things you can always go back and they won't be near as confusing as the devil makes you think. Now the devil makes you think something's confusing because you don't understand it. Anything that you don't understand is confusing. But after a while it'll get in your thought pattern and shape up and it won't be confusing. If I was up here teaching you mathematics and you didn't know anything about it, it'd be very confusing. I'll tell you what, I expect Brother Taylor's run into things in college. He thought that the professor was done going berserk and there wasn't no way to learn it. But you can learn it. All right, so then, how many understand what I'm saying now? This realm of the Jew realm and this realm of the Protestant realm, they run right along together, side by side. And whatever you want to know, look at this in the natural, check the Jew life, and 3 years difference in it, and you'll find that this is doing exactly the same thing, exactly the same thing. This is the veil right here, the Jew veil of the body of Jesus Christ, that God the Holy Spirit was in. You understand what I mean by that? Jesus was a man in his body, a Jew, but he was God in his spirit, which was a over here, born to the Protestant, which was a spiritual Jew. All right, now then, this one and this one parallels. I keep repeating these things so that we won't get lost off from each other. See, kind of get familiar with them. This one right here, the natural and the spiritual, go right along together. Now, here is your confounding, confusing rim right here. This is where all the trouble comes in right here, is the middle wall of partition. This is the one. Now, this is the one that goes just exactly backwards and contrary to everything the other two does. It goes just exactly backwards, Brother Taylor. Whatever these two fellas do over here, this fellow wants to do just the opposite of. You ever seen anybody like that? Well, you know that's the spirit of the devil, and that's what causes confusion. To get this man's identity right here and to have it revelated to you, you have to take it right backwards. That's the only way to get it. All right? Now, we won't try to explain that. We'll just leave it, and you can work it out. Sometimes you'll run into it, and you'll see what I mean. All right, let's take this rim. Now, I went across all of these so you could write them down and try to get a continuity. Let me say this one more time. This rim right here and this rim, they're the same rim. These two. This is the middle rim. So you've got to put down an extra rim, which is called a millennium, a thousand years reign. Now let me take just a little bit of teaching right here and show you what I mean by that. To this rim right here, let's say, now notice this, we'll say one, two, three, natural, physical, spiritual. All right, in saying one, two, three, and using that type as the real thing in that setting, then we'll take this and we'll give 2,000 years to this age. 2,000 years to the water age. From Adam down to Noah, how many of you know it was 2,000 years? We'll give 2,000 years to the water age. All right, over here in the blood age, from Jesus, or from Noah down to Jesus, how many of you know that was 2,000 years? From Noah unto Jesus was 2,000 years. Now, this is, I'm going to show you in a minute how it can be confusing. But anyway, you got 2,000 years from Jesus, rather from Noah down to Jesus. All right, then you got 2,000 years from Jesus over to where we are right now. 1970, you can figure it up by the Jewish calendar, and you'll find it's 30 years different. It comes out in 1970. So we're moving toward the last of the 6,000 years. You say, well, where did you hear that? I didn't hear it nowhere. I figured it up. It comes out like that. You figured it up, it come out like that too. All right, now then, right here, now, these are natural things we're speaking of now. This ought not be hard for you to get because it'd be just like in school. There's nothing, I'm saying nothing, but just natural things. Now, I have to get some spiritual understanding to get these things, but I'm just talking about the natural part. We get into the revelation. All right, now then, this is 2,000 years, 2,000 years, 2,000 years. And if you'll notice, the water world doesn't start with Noah, it ends with Noah. And the blood world doesn't start at the cross with Jesus, it ends at the cross. And the spirit world, if you'll notice, it ends just like the others over here with a man by the name of William Branham in the title, right over here. All right? Now then, so it doesn't start, the blood rim doesn't start with a blood sacrifice, it ends with a blood sacrifice as far as the supreme sacrifice, a human sacrifice. Now you understand what I'm saying? The water rim ended with Noah, the blood rim ended with Jesus, the spirit rim ended with Brother Branham. We're just using Brother Branham here to show something. All right, now, you understand what I mean by that? All right, over here in this rim. Now, you got 2, 2, 2. You got that. All right, now, don't want this to get confusing. You got that down in your mind. All right, now, we're going to have to kind of jump the gun a little bit here to show you what I mean. All right, now, go right under that and put 4,000 years. To the Jew. Take the 2,000 that's in the water rim and the 2,000 that's in the blood rim, put them together, put 4,000 years to the Jew and bring it all the way from the garden up to Jesus Christ where the cross is. 4,000 years. You can, but one good way to put it is is, Brother Taylor, would you draw me a little cross right out here? Just a little cross. All right, and come out from it right out here and draw another little cross. Draw three little crosses and put lines in between them for me, will you? Go back to the other side of that oven and be okay, Brother Frank. Three little crosses right here. All right, draw me a little line in between them, will you, Brother Taylor? Just a, that's okay. Just the other way, I just want a little, you know, a little divider there. That's all we want. All right, now then, if you will, Brother Taylor, under this first cross, all right, now, from, let's put 4,000 years right in between these two crosses right here, Brother Taylor. 4,000 years. All right, put 2,000 years in between these right here. Now, in High Point, when I taught this, I usually went out an hour or two before time and draw the charts and had them all ready, and the people come out and draw them and have theirs ready. It takes more time the way we're doing it here. All right, on the other side of this cross right over here, Brother Taylor, put 1,000 years. Now, I'm going to show you the true setting. This is the true setting of it. Now, when you say 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, this is the type and shadow, so that we could have an understanding, which give us 6,000 years. But now this is the true setting of it. This is the way it really is. This will bring you 7,000 years. All right? Now, let's look at it like this. This cross over here really needs to be on the other end over here. I got that wrong. It should be over there. That's right. Or just the figures, put them on the other side, and just transfer them on the other side of it, all right? But anyway, it worked fine just to transfer them, because that tree will go right in with the pattern there. Okay, now then, we got 4,000 years from Adam over to the cross. We got 4,000 years from Adam over to the cross. Now let's call that the water world. Let's use it for the water world. 4,000 years. All right, then we got 2,000 years from Jesus at the cross over to where we're at now. Oh, that is coming the 20th century. It'll be 2,000 years. That'll make the 6,000 years, the sixth day in which God rested. I work. I think we got 1,000 years from the rapture, which is about to take place now, 1,000 years from there over to the white throne of judgment. That's right, you can put the white throne of judgment. 1,000 years there. Now, this is the true setting of it. This is the true setting. And you'll have to use your type setting to get your revelation with. But this is the true setting of what really took place. So you see here, there is 4,000 years over here. If you'll notice now, there's 4,000 years from the garden, which is the tree right here. From the garden. There's 4,000 years right down here. And Brother Taylor can put... All right, that's good. 4,000 years down to right here. This is where Christ was at. You can put Mark right up there, Christ. 4,000 years. All right, what is that 4,000 years? It's from Adam, the first man Adam, to the second man Adam, which is the Lord Jesus. You say, well, Brother Pike, if that's from the first man Adam to the second man Adam, why didn't that finish it? Jesus said it was finished. When he hung right there, it was finished. He said, that should have finished. It did. But if you'll notice, the Lord Jesus, I'm going to have to write some things down and you just have to bear with me. All right, to Christ. You got that now? All right. Now then, we got from Adam to Christ, we got 4,000 years. That's the Jew age. Right there. You can put it down like this, a V along there, and then write Jew on it, Brother Taylor. And right there to the cross, just a V shape, and then write Jew under. That's right, just come down like that. Now write Jew right under there. All right, now that's 4,000 years allotted to the Jew, and that's the way God dealt with the Jew, right there. Now, you might say, well, Brother Pike, what's the need of us getting these teachings? Eternal life. If that's worthwhile, then we'll get them. All right, here's the Jew right here. This is the Jew right here. Now then, we'll take 2,000 years the same way there, Brother Taylor. All right, Gentile, that's right. Brother Taylor knows this Bible as well as I do, so he can write it. In case I forget it, he'll put it under there anyway. All right, that's the Gentile age, 2,000 years. All right, now then, coming down here, we got one more. All right, now put the Protestant age under that, Brother Taylor. Now, we're going to have to clarify this right here in just a few minutes. Now, come right down. I tell you what, on the other side over here, put three crosses just like you got it there and put 2,000 years to each one of them. And that way we'll be able to keep them straight. So you got 1,000 years. Now while he's doing that, I'm going to talk just a few minutes here. Notice the Lord deals with the Jews. He deals with the Jews, if you'll watch now. He deals with the Jews in terms of fours. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. He deals with them in terms of four. All right? 4,000 years from Adam unto the cross, dealing with them in terms of four. If we get all these basic fundamentals when we go through the Revelation, it shall be clear with you further down the line. All right, he deals with the Jews and Gentiles in twos. 2,000 years to the Gentiles. From Jesus until now. Brother Taylor, come over here just a minute, if you will. Put me a little point right here. All right? Put law right up there. Put me a little point right here and put at the top of it grace. And put me a little point right here and put at the top of it righteousness. Okay. Now this will help us to clarify it right here. We'll go over here first and we'll get this straightened out here. Got 2,000 years right here for the Jew. Just put a little point down here and put Noah. Alright, put a little point down here and put Jesus. And a little point down there and put, go ahead and put William Branham right there. Now, I'm going to use some references here. We're putting William Branham down here. But this age right here goes to Peter. You'll see. I'll have to get it straight in your mind. But anyway, now, just ignore this because this is a type over here. Just ignore it so it won't confuse you. Just don't get your mind on it right now. Just ignore it. And when we get to it, we'll teach. All right, now then, let's stay over here with this. You see here, 4,000 years to the Jew, which was law. This was the law. All right, you got 2,000 years here to the Gentiles. This is grace. Now, this is the age that we're living in right here. Why did God give 2,000 years and call it grace? Because if he hadn't given us grace, he'd have had to kill every one of us. God never changes. He's the same yesterday as the law, today and forever. He never changes. He never alters his word, not one iota. And grace was not given to alter the word of the Lord. It absolutely wasn't. It was only given as a mercy period to give you time to get straightened out in the law. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He said, I magnify the law. So then grace age was to do what? To fulfill the law. He came in the grace age to fulfill the law over here, because if he fulfills the law over here, then it comes out over here as faith, and the Bible said our faith is counted unto us as righteousness. So then we got 1,000 years here of peace with God. 1,000 years rest. The millennium, as the intellectuals of today call it. The Bible scholars, they use the word millennium, which means 1,000 years. There's no such word in the Bible, but they use it, the word millennium, as 1,000 years. The Bible calls it 1,000 years reign. That's what it calls it. And we see right here after that 1,000 years, here's the white throne of judgment. And if Brother Taylor put it right here, he can put a new earth right here, and he can put New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven right there on the new earth. This will help us to see where the supper is supposed to be and where the battle of Armageddon is supposed to be. Later we'll take this tree right here and teach from the tree. Right now we'll use it for another purpose. If you can ever get a thought pattern of these things, it'll really be a blessing to you. So we see then over here the great white throne of judgment after the 1,000 years millennium reign, New Jerusalem coming down on the new earth. This right in here is the same earth. Just put an earth up there and put the same earth. It's the same earth. That's why that I say that this is the real true picture of it. Because God is not through. When we end this age, God is not through. He's got one more age, and that'll be the 1,000 years millennium reign, and then he'll be through with mankind. But he's still got 1,000 years left. He's not through yet. But he's through as far as the types and the shadows, like 2, 2, 2. And the reason he done it like this was to give the church a spiritual education in the types, which is 2, 2, 2. He did that to give us a spiritual education in the type, because we wasn't going to have time to get an education after that. Because when we come into the 1,000 years millennium reign, we're going to be the manifested sons of God in the government of that age. God's going to throw away this government here, because this age and this age is the same age, and it's Catholic government. It's only a type of the sons of God government over here in the Protestant age, but really it's the same Catholic government that ruled in the dark age, that spilt the blood of the martyrs, and you're going to find out in a little while that I'm telling you the truth. All right. Now then, so this is the earth right here where we tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet, where they burn up. Right there. You might say, where? All right. If we do that, we have to go back to our types, because you've got to teach from the types. Let's leave this alone now for a little while. Let's just say that God deals in the law age here with the Jew, or with the number 4,000 years and 40 years and so forth. And here in the grace age, the Gentiles, with the number 2,000 years, 2 cars, 2 children, a boy and a girl. Right over here in the 1,000 years millennium reign, he deals with the church. And Brother Taylor can put right down under here, church or Christian, right down under the Protestant. He deals with them right there as one, with the number 1. 1,000 years, one God, one faith, one baptism. He's always one. When you hear Trinity, it's absolutely wrong. Trinity is to the second age right here. That's Catholic age. And the reason it's Trinity is because this right here, which is the natural Jew, and this right here, which is the Catholic, the physical Jew, and this right here, which is the Protestant, is the spiritual Jew, every one of them is going to confederate, go into a national council of churches together, Brother John. And it's body, soul, and spirit of that beast. That's what it is, which means flesh. And the Bible said they all wandered after the beast. It means they wandered after the flesh, like houses and lands and cars and education, that which the natural man loves. Satan savors the things that be of the beast, which is the flesh. He works through the beast, which is the flesh, to take possession of everything out here. But when God created Adam in the garden, Adam was there only a type. When we teach Adam, he was only a type of the second man, Adam. That second man, Adam, was that son of God, which was the man-child. That first man, Adam, was the beast. Now, I know it might not be too easy to get a hold of, but that's what he was. He was created as flesh and blood to show that beast. That's why the Bible said Jesus made in his body twain. In his flesh, he was a man like beast. And he was made sinful flesh, and God smote him on the cross. We esteem him smitten of God. And on the cross, God, the Word, smote him as a beast, smote him and spilt the blood on his vesture to show the fire of the judgment of God that would come down on the beast the end time. And the thing that he's going to do to you and I is smite this man with the Word. I know we've been taught that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and we're looking for the church to flower out like a beautiful blossom and a beautiful tree and get big churches and all of that, and it will. So far as the natural church in the earth, which is only a type. The natural church, which is the Catholic church, the natural Christ, or Jesus, which is the Antichrist, all of those things will come up to a beautiful heading in the world. But the true church, though the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it will not prosper in the world and spread out in the world. It'll ever be losing, ever be losing, ever be losing. For though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, then we're the most miserable people in the world, because we ain't got no hope in this life. So we're ever relinquishing, ever drawing back, not from God, but from worldly things. So you see, it's mighty easy to be misled. The reason the evangelists of the day take advantage of the people, and this message right here is given to reveal Satan's kingdom, that Satan might be cast out. The message that Brother Branham brought, it reveals Satan only in a church world. That's all it revealed it as. Only in a church world, which was a Catholic church. It showed denominationalism. That's what he dwelt on. That was the stronghold of Satan. But this is going to reveal Satan to show where he's at in the church, even among the Pentecostal people. I'm going to say this. The church world of today, the general part of it is Antichrist. The whole world is Antichrist. The whole church program in the natural is Antichrist. The whole government is Antichrist. Everything is anti, which means a type. It's only a type and a shadow, and there's an Antichrist, which is coming to an anti-government and an anti-world and an anti-knowledge, which is the tree of knowledge, education. And he's going to take it over at the right time. He's going to take it over. He's on his way now. Brother Isaiah quotes it a lot of time. The destroyer is on his way from the north. He's coming over. He'll come over from Rome, Italy. He'll come back from in there. And Brother Beretta knows what I'm talking about because he was raised up a Catholic and he knows just exactly what they stand for. Brother Al Gonzalez was raised up a Catholic. He knows what they stand for. So then, it makes it so easy for preachers to come in here and preach prosperity to you. It makes it so easy for them to preach a good feeling of the flesh to you. And they can preach that and God will honor that. He's got to honor it to fulfill the times. They can come in here and they can preach to you shouting and all of these things and you'll enjoy it the most and God will be in it. There will be healings and miracles because he promised to pour out his spirit upon all flesh to woo them to God. And these sharks is taking advantage of it. Don't you think they ain't? Satan is taking advantage of it. The rain comes on the wheat and the tares. Is that right? The tares or the weed enjoys the rain just as much as the wheat does. The tares or the weed enjoys it just as much as the wheat does. The rain is coming down and you can get in here and have a service. And naturally, you're going to lean toward that shouting service. You're going to lean toward that anointing that gives you that feeling because you know it's God. And you're going to lean toward it. You're going to love it. But I'll tell you what you do. You take any child and raise him up and just woo him and love him and see if he don't turn out to be what Brother Branham called a rascal. See if he don't do it. The Bible said, spare the rod and you got a spoiled child. That's right. And those men that come in and whip that thing up, there's one thing they're interested in, and that's a big television program. They're interested in lining their pocketbooks and driving a Cadillac and buying them a home. And if I'm lying, then tell me if that's what they're doing or not. Do they drive big Cadillacs? Do they drive the big Lincolns? Do they build them a house? Do they preach to you to give all you've got while they're not giving what they got? Is that right? You know that's right. All right, then what is it? God uses them. God uses them, Brother Gonzalez. But you take them and put them down there in Mexico and let them sleep on the rocks and fight the mosquitoes and see how long they stay down there. I have trouble standing there myself. So then what is it? It's easy for them to preach prosperity because God wants you to prosper. It's easy for them to preach love because God is love. It's easy for them to preach prosperity and love and shouting because God said praise him in the dance. Don't you see how Satan cunningly takes everything that God promised to the church and uses it to get an offering with? Every one of those things are for us. Every one of them, and God ordained that we have them. Is that right? But these men take and misuse those things. The Bible said the ministers of Satan transform themselves. The Bible said be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. They take these things and they transform themselves into the ministers of the Word of Life. Is that Bible? They'll get up here and they'll preach like a house is on fire. And they'll get you to do all these things and they'll take a big offering. And you say, well, we prosper. I know you'll prosper. If they teach you faith, you'll prosper. The Bible said, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. But the Bible said, they that supposing that worldly gain is godliness from such turn away. Said, you brought nothing in the world and it's for sure you're not going to take nothing out. Like Brother Franklin Walden, as good a man as I know of, come to me and he said, Brother Pike, I'd love to know one thing. I said, what is it, brother? If I can help you, I will. He said, the Lord spoke to me and said, enlarge your borders and your curtains and everything, that I'm going to make you have one of the greatest ministries in the world in just a few months. He said, and I did. He went in debt for this and went in debt for that and got a promoter and all. And he said, just about time I've done it, said a boy spoke to me and said, worldly gains, not godliness. And he was confused. Said he didn't understand. All right, I'll show you what the Lord let me know about it. The Lord spoke to him and told him he'd enlarge his ministry. Well, what happened? Man looks on the outward appearance. That means a big tent, a big tractor. So that's not the way God enlarges your ministry. He enlarges your ministry by the knowledge of God. Now you say, well, that isn't true. Well, why come Jesus didn't get all those things if that's not true? He was the chief leader. Why was it he dwelled in a cave? Why was it he wandered about? Why is it that Hebrews states very emphatically that these men obtained a good report by faith, and yet they wandered about and dwelt in caves and dens of whom the world was not worthy? You see what I'm talking about? It's easy for them to preach those things because Satan loves the things of the flesh. Naturally, he tells you to prosper. He wants you to be just as well as you can. And he says, why are you prospering? It don't hurt if you use a little lipstick. I think it'll make you look better. I think your husband will think more of you. It won't hurt if you pull your dresses up above your knees just a little bit. I think your husband would like you better anyway. And he would, because your husband is the devil and he likes that kind of thing. But I'll tell you one thing. To live for the Lord Jesus, it's going to be different from that. You'll never have the mind of God doing those things. I see some of you ladies, and I want to preach a little as I go along. I see some of you ladies, the top of your dresses is so form-fitting and tight until you're a disgrace to yourself, let alone to the church and your husband. And your husband don't do a thing about it. Some of you wear padded underclothes that you ought to go in there and get them out of the drawer and throw them in the garbage. Burn them up. I'm preaching to you now. We better get back to our teaching. See if we can find some smooth things. But anyway, I'm telling you the truth, folks. I love you, but this is the truth. Now, how many of you want a double portion? Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. I ain't supposed to do it both at one time, I don't guess, but I do. All right, now, if we want a double portion, the Jew had one portion over here, getting back to our teaching. The Jew had one portion over here, which was in his body. That was the law. Right yonder. That was the law, right here. Over here, the Protestant had one portion over here, which is grace. Now, the reason you say, well, that's confusing, Brother Pike. That's supposed to be the righteousness realm. It is the righteousness realm as far as tithes, but really the grace realm extended all the way from the cross over to the coming of Jesus because it was the same age. It was the grace age where God let people get by with anything. Well, I'll tell you, they won't get by with it just as quick as the grace is over. You'll find out whether... Let me say this. Grace is given for us to perfect our lives. How many of you understand that? Now, what kind of grace did he give us? He gave us dispensational grace that was to last from the cross till the coming of Jesus, which is the coming of the revelation. He gave you dispensational grace to get right with God. But now, is there a difference between dispensational grace and grace unto salvation? The Bible teaches that the grace of salvation has appeared unto every man. The salvation grace, there's a difference. You understand what I mean? Dispensational grace is for a period of time. But grace unto salvation is not for a period of time, it's for eternity. So then this grace is for a period of time to overlook your fault because he looks on you like a little bunch of children. And he said, just give them a spanking every now and then, let them go until I can instruct them, give them the mind of Christ, and then they won't do those things. But now you just neglect and don't grow up. You just neglect and let that spanking go on by and don't do no good. And you grow up out here into manhood, and you hadn't come to that mind of Christ, and you just sat in the church, and you yawned, and you didn't pay any attention. You figure, well, if I get a little bit of it, that's good enough, and I ain't got to worry about the rest. And you do those things and watch. After this revelation comes, then you watch what happens to you. God will turn all the powers of hell loose on you. Because grace was not given to be walked over and messed with and trampled with. It wasn't given for these ministers of Satan to get up like they do in the denominational churches to build big programs and all these things to tell you that it's all right to wear lipstick and to do this and all those things that denominational powers teach you. It wasn't given for that. And someday those men are going to burn in hell for that. And all of the rest, the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall into the ditch. And the Bible said the ditch is the great whore that set upon many waters. And so then, they'll all go into the National Council of Churches. Why? Because they took advantage of the grace of God, but not advantage in the way to get right with the law. Jesus Christ, the Word, fulfills the law. If you don't believe it, get the Word in your heart and see if you don't start living right. The Word fulfills the law. The Word is made flesh. Somebody said, well, no man can keep the law. Well, you tell me something here. What's hard about thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? What's hard about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife? What's hard about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox? Show me one letter of the law that love don't fulfill. God is love. You get God the Word, which is love in your heart, and you'll fulfill every one of them things. Because there ain't nothing you don't have to. You understand what I mean? So then what was grace for? It was so that God could come, God the Word, into your heart and change you. So over here, the Jew had what? He had one potion of discipline of law in his body, do's and don'ts. Over here, in grace, what did they have? In this room over here, they had one potion of God in grace over here. Is that right? All right. Now to have a double potion, what have you got to do? You got to bring grace over here with law and put them together, because that's where the double potion is. Law and grace is the double potion, which means discipline of the body till the body will turn away from all of its evil, and grace over here in this realm, in the spirit, until there is nothing that can live in your spirit. This is the soul realm here where all the trouble is right here. This is the soul realm. What does it do? It's the middle wall of partition where the cross is. What? Rending the veil, what does it do? It separates the law from grace over here. Is that right? But what did Jesus do? He fulfilled the law in his body and grace in his heart. Is that right? Everywhere he went, he was doing good, as the song says. Is that grace? He healed the sick, the lame, the blind, all that. Did he do it? He didn't heal it to get an offering either, Brother Tom. He didn't heal it to say that I feel there's 50 people in here can give me $100 either. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will command his captains without any charge. You make no charge for it. You show me where Samuel ever charged. You show me where Jesus ever charged. You show me where William Branham ever charged. The man God sends doesn't make a charge. Buy the truth and sell it not. If you got some truth, I'll buy it if I can, but I ain't got no sale for it. All right, now then. So then, for us to have a double potion, that means there's got to become a person that's going to be a Jew in their spirit and a Jew in their body. Which means the Word, spiritual Jew, made flesh. The body's going to become a spiritual Word Jew. That's right. When it does, that's going to be it. And in that time, to give the type and a shadow, the natural part, which shows the spiritual thing taking place, the natural will unite with the physical. The natural Jew will unite with the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church will unite over here with the Protestant, which is a type of the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? This is the realm of the trouble right here. Right here. A lot of times you see a woman, she'll get all, you know, stretched out, dancing and frolicking, and they'll say, boy, she's a cat. And that's right. That's exactly what she is. She's a cat. She represents the cat right here. The Catholic Church is what she represents. Oh, this is right here the Jew. And this is the Catholic. And that right over there is the Protestant. All right. Now, how many of you, are you staying with me? You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, are you getting the pattern clear in your mind? You understand? Let's just take a minute and see now. You understand that this is 2,000 years, 2,000 years, and 2,000 years. Natural, physical, and spiritual. The water world, the Bible said, three bear witness near at the water, blood, and spirit. Water brothers, blood brothers, spirit brothers. Is that clear? I know it is to some of you because some of you went through it a number of times, but the others, is it clear to you? You understand what I'm saying? Natural, physical, and spiritual. A natural world, a human world, and an angel world. Now, can you receive this like this to keep it straight? This right here, what kind of world is it? It's a water world of natural vegetation. And the life of it is water. What is this?
I'm going to get a little plainer. This is the beast world. Human anatomy, blood world, physical. This is the beast world. And what is this? This is the third heaven. This is the angelic world. Right here. Now, what happened to Adam in the garden? You got to run it right backwards to see. You remember me telling you have to go backwards a while ago? Now, if the pilgrims, now when I start talking about the pilgrims landing, we're not going to take it 1, 2, 3 over there. We're going to get over here and we're going to break this third dimensional type down in a 1, 2, 3, and it'll show us the same thing by the pilgrims landing over here as it did over here in the 1, 2, 3 of the whole world aspect of it. But we ain't going to get, we ain't going to break it down in parts yet. We'll get over there where that pertains unto us, but let's get the whole picture where it won't be confusing. So then the 2,000 years, the water rim right here. We got that. 2,000 years of the beast rim. All right, now, can we reverse it? Let's reverse it in our time. What happened to Adam? God created Adam in this rim. He created him in this rim. You say, well, what makes you think so? Because he was created as a spiritual being. God is a spirit. And the Bible called Adam the Son of God. He was created in this rim. You believe he was created in the God realm? How many believe he's created in the God realm? All right. Then that means that God's just now creating him. Is that right? The man-child. Right over here. Sure. All right, then right over here, if this is the man-child realm, if this is the third age right here, you understand what I'm saying? We're running backwards. Adam was created in this realm, but what did he do? He fell to this realm. What realm is this? The beast realm. The blood realm. He fell to blood realm. Where is he at today? The Bible said there is a continual warfare between the inner man and the outer man. Who is the inner man? The Son of God. The second man, Adam. Who is the first man on the outside? He's the beast. He's got him in captivity. The Bible said when they fell, God clothed them with skin. Is that Bible? All right, so where is that inner man? He's been in a beast prison on the inside. He's been trying to get out ever since. Is he getting out? Took him a long time, but he's getting out. There had to be a birth, and he's coming forth from the womb. This revelation, that revelation man is coming out of there. I said this the other night. If you can get revelation and get up into this, see this mind of Christ, get up in that mind of Christ, then you are an eagle. But if you can't, you're a barnyard chicken. You're doomed to go. That's right. Chickens can't. They flap their wings, and they might get up here high enough to look religious, but that's all they'll ever do. But I'll tell you right now, if you're that God man on the inside, you can climb up into the second heaven, third heaven. Paul said, I got in this revelation and said, when I got in, I couldn't tell where I was in the body or out of the body. You know where he came to? What he done, he left that rim way back there and he come over here. I actually left this rim here and come over here. That's what he did. He come over here, right here. He saw what was going on, Brother Taylor, right over here. How's the reason for him doing that? How many of you know there's a reason for him coming over? What good was it for God to educate him in this rim here? When he lived in this realm, there wouldn't have been no need for that. There was a reason. What reason was it for God to enlighten John the Revelator over here in this realm if he's going to live way back here in this realm? There had to be a reason for it. All right. Now then, we come back over here. Now, we got these types and shadows down pretty good, haven't we? And remember, this is just a type. 2,000, 2,000, 2,000. Now keep going over it so it'll get in your mind. This is your real pattern, 4,000, 2,000, and 1,000. That's your real. But we got to teach the type so we can understand it. Is that clear? Now, I teach this a lot of times, and to me it's real clear. And Betty said it's all foggy to the people, so they don't understand it. But now, here to our people, it's not that way, I don't believe, because if I was out yonder and I just went into some church out there where they didn't know nothing about none of this, never have been taught none of this, well, I could understand it, they'd be foggy. But now, I don't believe it's that. It might be a little cloudy to us, but I don't believe we're that far from it. I believe we understand these things. Because the brethren have done got into revelation. I've done heard them. And I know if you're in the mind of Christ, you can get these things. All right, now, would it be all right to take one rim here and deal with it some? Okay, let's take the water rim back here. Okay? Now, you got the all-over picture. All right, let's break this one down into three rims. Can we do that? All right, remember, Jesus hanging on the cross dissected his body into three parts. His body went into the grave. His soul went into hell. How many believe his soul went into hell? The Bible said he suffered not his Holy One to see corruption, nor his soul to remain in hell. All right, his soul went into hell so that your soul wouldn't have to go there. Is that right? Well, his spirit went into paradise. Is that right? To show where the church went to. His soul went into hell to show where the Catholics were going to. When I say Catholic, I don't mean the guy. I'm just talking about the beast. Catholic is just a church name. It's universal, which means one. All right, let's get it like this. When the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, his body, what was his body? The Jews. He had a Jew body. The Jews went into the grave. That means they become dead. The light of God was cut off from them. Where did they go? The Bible says they'll come from the east. Is that right? They'll come from the west. Is that right? And they'll sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. Is that right? And the children of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness. Is that right? Who are the children of the kingdom? And the natural, it's the Jew, because that's your type. So then it said the natural Jew in the natural type would be cast into the outer darkness. Is that right? Into the natural mind of wandering, carnal darkness. They'll be cast out into the darkness, out of the mind of God for a period of time. To show the crucifixion of his son. This is what the crucifixion shows. All right, the natural Jew would go into the grave. They would be cut off from God for a time, for God's purpose, for his revelation, for his type, for his shadows. You see that? They went into outer darkness, which means Jesus' body went into the grave. Is that right? And he said there'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They stand at the wailing walls of Jerusalem. They have weeped. They have wailed at those walls. And they've gnashed their teeth when the Germans come in and killed them and slayed them and done away with their children when they cried, "Let his blood be on us." So then the Jew body is dead. Is that right? Is that true? All right, what did he say? He said they would come from the west. Is that right? The Gentiles. And they would sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. But the children of the kingdom would be cast into the outer darkness. Is that right? Now, let me prove to you this is right. Do you actually believe that in the end time, God is going to take the children of the kingdom, the people that have lived for God, and cast them in outer darkness? Everybody believes that, raise your hand. I'll tell you one thing, if he's going to do that, I'm going to lay down my stick and quit. If I live a Christian life and I become a child of the kingdom and end up the end of the way, he's going to cast me into hell. There ain't no need of me living for him. So then we've got to understand what he was saying. Is that right? The children of the kingdom was cast into the outer darkness. You see how easy it is for Satan to cause things to be tangled up? There's a number of things that I brought out to some brethren one time. It showed how easy Satan can tangle you up. For instance, let's see if we can think of one or two of them here. The Bible said, after that you've done all that you can do, then say, "I'm an unprofitable servant." Well, I was taught all my life, or the essence of it was, what I understood, that, Brother Pike, after you do everything you can do, then you're an unprofitable servant. Well, I believe that. The Lord said, absolutely not. He said, how could you do all you do and then be an unprofitable servant? Well, I said, what the Bible says. No, sir, it's not what the Bible says. He said, which one of you has got a servant that when he comes in from the field, by and by you say, "You sit down here and I'll serve you"? No, he said, will you not rather send him, you gird yourself and serve me, and then after I'm filled, I'll serve you. Is that right? Remember, I'll serve you. Command thou me concerning the works of my hand after you've done all you're supposed to do. Is that right? All right, what did he say? Then I'll serve you. I'll serve you. All right, you understand what I'm saying? All right, then when Jesus died, his body was dissected into three parts, and we will try not to go too much longer here. Just bear with me. When the Lord Jesus died, when he died on the cross, his body was dissected into three parts. We say rent in twain, which means two, the spirit divided from the body. That's the way God works it, so we'll understand. But did you know that when you rent something in twain, and you cut one end off from the other end, you got a middle left. Is that right? You got two ends of a loaf of bread, you got a middle left. So then it was rent in twain. What was the purpose? So that the Ark of the Testament could be revealed from the inside, which this middle rim was a type of. When Antichrist ruled the world in the Dark Age, that was a type of it right there. Only a type. As I say this, and that over him is the same thing, so he's still ruling the world. It's only a type. So then, notice right here now. Break this down into three parts, and you'll see that Jesus' body, which was the Jew, went into the earth. You'll see that Jesus' soul, which was the Catholic realm, right here, went into hell. And you'll see that the other body of people, which was the Protestants, the angelical religious age, went into paradise. That's why he died, was to show that he was going to divide a body of people into three major parts. That's what he was going to do. You understand what I'm saying? Now, why did he do this? To show the fall and resurrection of his creature, which was Adam. Now, I'll show it in just a minute, and we can get the types and shadows right. So then the Lord Jesus died. He died. Was divided into three parts. His body went into the grave. His soul went into hell. His spirit went into paradise. And when we get over to the third part, I'll show you the same thing happened to Brother Branham. All right, then we got the three major parts. See, all over here. The cross in the middle. Because how many of you know that the middle rim where the Catholics are always have a cross around the neck? They emphasize the cross. Why is that? Because it's the middle rim where the cross was. See, 2,000 years, 2,000 years, 2,000 years, and over here is where the cross is. So, the middle rim here is your middle rim of the cross. They emphasize the cross because that's what God's going to do, is nail them to the cross. Out in the end out there, that's what he's going to do to them. All right. So then, here is the body, here is the soul, and that's the spirit. That's angelic rim. This is beast rim. And this right here is your natural dirt rim out here, which is the rim of water and vegetation. Adam did not fall to the water rim. He fell from this God rim into the beast rim right here. That's why Jesus had to be made as a beast, like in the sinful flesh, to be crucified and to let that inner man out. Are you following me? You got this right now? All right. Now, I'm going to say this, that in this rim right here, we can break this down here. We'll break this down a little later and show you the same thing that happened between these three major parts of humanity also happened in the physical rim, which is your human anatomy, in three parts right here. But right now, let's break it down and show how it happened right here in the natural rim of the pilgrimage of the old pilgrims. Is that all right? How many of you feel like you would like to go on just a little bit further? All right. Now, I don't want to press you because I know you're tired, and I want to give you all that I can. But we just got 3 nights to do it in, and I want to give you all I can, but I don't want to confuse you. All right, let's go back to the water rim. Are you with me now? All right, over here in the water rim, what did the Lord do? This is the rim of vegetation, which we call the agricultural rim. Have you got that? This is the rim right here of human anatomy that we call the governmental rim. This is the rim right up here of spirit, the angelic rim, which we call it the Protestant rim right here. We call this the religious realm. So it's religion, politics, and agriculture. Alright? Now, in this realm right here, in this realm, we take this realm and we break this realm down right here. Break it down. Now, Brother Taylor's keeping up with us to give you kind of a memorandum up here on the board. We break this rim down here. You'll be through up there in just a few minutes. All right, now, Brother Taylor, if you can, you might better put it up here so that they can see it. Put me a little block out there and let me get this right here. We'll have to start in Canaan land and we'll have to come back to Canaan land. But what we'll have to do, put a little block out here, about like that little round block. We'll try it like that. Let's see what we can do with this one. All right, we'll use this for Canaan right here. All right. Now then, we'll use this right over here. or Egypt right there. Put Egypt right there. Now, how many of you know the children of Israel went in a circle? Now, see, the reason I'm doing this is because in our natural mind, we get a natural idea, and we might stretch it out from here to there and make heads and tails of it. But if we get it according to the Bible, once we get that in our mind, we won't get confused, and we can just follow that thing right on around. All right, here's Canaan, here's Egypt. All right, we're going to come out here, and we're going to make this the wilderness right here. Right along here, brother. Make it right along here, about three parts. We actually should have put Egypt over there. Put the wilderness right along here. Right along here. Now, stay with me, if you will, because we're going to break down the water rim. No, that's still not the right place, brother. Put it along here for me, if you will. All right, now then, Brother Taylor's got Canaan, he's got Egypt, and he's got the wilderness. Now then, to break this down to see the journey of the patriarch so that we can get revelation from it, if we have these patterns right and types and shadows, God can speak to us just like that in the day we're living in, just speak to you in your own kitchen. Just show you things, you can predict the future. All right, now we got Canaan, we got Egypt, and we got the wilderness. All right, now then, they were in Canaan to begin with. Put a little cross right along there, Brother Taylor. Can you put right in here water rim for me? And put right down under vegetation. This will help us keep it straight. All right, can you put me another cross right over here, brother? Yeah. I hope you can get what I'm trying to do here. I hope it'll be clear to you. Can you put me one more cross right here? Now, do you see three crosses up there? Now, you see why here that they had three crosses? When the Lord Jesus died, they had three crosses. He was in the middle and had man on his right hand and one on his left. You see why that is? It had to be like that. God doesn't do anything unless it has a purpose behind it. All right, put over the top of this right here. Let us know this is Jesus. Put Jesus right up there for me. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to put Jesus right there. Right here on this cross, we're going to put Noah. Now, that's going to show the two thieves here on the cross. And I'll explain to you a little bit later. And right up here, put Columbus. Now that's a type. This is a type. Remember now, this is a type. You understand what I'm doing? Now, this is a type because if you'll notice, this is a religious man. This is a religious man. I mean a Christian. Of course, this was a religious man. But this is only a type now because we're using the type. We're dividing the second rim into halves here. But now when you come out here, you use your 4,000, 2,000, 1,000, you're not going to use Columbus because that's just a type right there. How many of you know Columbus discovered the New World? You believe he was a type of Noah? All right, let's see if he was. Noah crossed the great deluge. Is that right? He had three sons. Is that right? All right, Brother Taylor, do you know these things are true because the Lord gave you that for that purpose? All right, now then, let's look at this third rim. Now, we got it broke down. Here is the pilgrimage. Abraham was in Canaan land. Is that right? And we could go back beyond that, but we're just going to deal with the pilgrim, with this pilgrimage right here so we can keep it straight. All right? Now, Abraham was in Canaan land. You're going to have to put in three more things for me here. All right. Let's say Abraham first. Yeah, Abraham. All right. Abraham was the father of the Jew. Is that right? All right. Abraham, the father of the Jew. You better make a little circle around Abraham, the father of the Jew. All of that, circle all of that and separate from the other. All right, over here, who was the father of the Catholics? I'm going to see if this thing is right. Frank, who's the father of the Catholics? I'm going to see if this is right. The Pope? Is he the father? Who was? Who was the first pope according to their calculation? All right. Let's go back over here and see. Now, I know Peter wouldn't claim this, but it'd disgrace him the way he'd probably feel about it, but I think he'd suffer for us to have the truth here. All right, what is it? Then the Middle Age here, the Catholics, the father of the Catholics was Peter, according to their calculation. They based it on Peter. All right, who is the father of our country? Using the type now. And we know that, now listen, this is only a type of the Protestant age. This does not mean the father of the real Christian. The real is up here. The father of the real is up here, but we're going to use the type over here. Is that all right? All right, who is the father of our religious realm here, or rather the Protestant age of America? George Washington. Remember, he's just a type. That's all, because we're splitting the second realm right here. So Peter would be the father of this whole thing here. If we go down to the third realm, there'll be another father out here in the religious realm. And we know who he is. We don't have to be told who he is. There's but one father, that's God. But anyway, to get our types here so we can teach the revelation. All right, now then, Abraham, the father of the Jews, was on a journey. He was already in Canaan to begin with. How many of you remember the vision Abraham had where he split the doves open and he went into a state of darkness? Read it in the Old Testament, the voice said to him, said, thy seed shall sojourn in bondage 400 years. You'll see something if you want. When we get over that rim right over there, we'll show you by the Negro how that his seed wandered in darkness 400 years. Right over here in this first rim, right here. What is it? Canaan land, Abraham, the father of the Jews, was already in Canaan land, but civilization had to start in Egypt, which was the east, and move to the west. Sun rises in the east, it goes to the west. All right, the gospel comes up in the east, it goes to the west. Sets in the west, it comes back to the east, and makes the circle. Solomon said everything goes in a circle. You can see the journey here. Everything. How many of you know that the rain comes down from heaven, goes into the earth, the sun draws it back up, the cold condenses it, the wind blows it to a dry ground, the heat melts it, goes right back down the earth, it draws right back. Solomon said it goes in a circle, everything. Is that right? Everything goes in a circle, no matter what you do. You take a man, he begat children, children begat children, they die, and it goes back in a circle, it starts over, and after a while the child's the father, and then after a while he dies, another child comes up, and he's the father, and it goes around the circle. Well, everything goes around the circle. A man gets up in the morning, he goes to work, and he gets his breakfast, he gets his dinner, he gets his supper, he goes back to bed, and he gets back up and eats his breakfast, and dinner, and supper. Oh, looks like we get tired of that. But up and down, up and down, and around, until we finally die. We're in the wilderness, the carnal mind. So then here they are right here in Canaan. They were already in Canaan. Now, what does it mean, being already in Canaan? It means man's got life to start with. He got life to start with. The Bible said, you're gods, but you'll die like men. It was already in Canaan. So Abraham had the vision where the dove was split open. God said, thy seed shall so wander in a strange land and be evilly entreated for 400 years. After 400 years, I'll bring them out. Is that right? All right, now you say, what's that got to do with us? If we understand this natural realm, what did I say? It would show just exactly what the spiritual realm was. All right, how many of you want to know just exactly what the church is going through with or has gone through with, and when she'll be delivered or how she'll be delivered? All right, to do that, we've got to understand the seed. Is that right, Brother Taylor? All right, now, right here. Here's Canaan land right here. Abraham was in Canaan land, and what did he do? He crossed over right here into Egypt. And civilization, I know that the intellectuals of today, they give civilization to everybody but Abraham, but that's exactly where civilization come from, was Abraham. Right there. It come down into Egypt right there. Abraham, the father of the Jews, went right down there. When Abraham died out, then right down in here is where his seed was in bondage. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that Abraham went down into Egypt? That's right, he did. He went down to Egypt. Now, right down here into Egypt. All right, when they got down to Egypt, how long did they stay down there? 400 years. Now, we can back up from the days of Adam and come down to Noah. We can come down to Noah and we can break it down right here
and break it down in Abraham, break it down in Isaac, and break it down in Jacob. Is that right? We could break it down in three sons, just like Noah had. He used the runs in threes. And you made your part, it runs one, two, three. And then when you get your parallel, it runs Cain and Abel, side by side. So then, all right, notice it right here. Canaan land. I say a few of these things so that you will have them in your mind when I get over here to the other pattern. How many of you know that our government of today, which remember these is the same rims, it'll be the same way in the spiritual government, which that is a type of out there in the millennium. But how many of you know that in our government of today, we've got, let's see if I can get it right now, we've got, I can't get it right in mind, I'll come to it in just a few minutes, and bear with me. Now there's something I want to point out about this rim over here, I can't get it to register. By the time I started to say it, Joe moved across there and he kind of broke the chain there. He didn't mean to interrupt, but he kind of broke the chain of thoughts there. But I'll get it in just a few minutes. It's concerning the competitive field of our government. You know what I'm saying? The Republicans is what I'm trying to say. We've got the Republicans. We've got the Democrats. Is that right? The Republicans and the Democrats. I want you to remember this because we'll show Cain and Abel over here. To understand that, you got to understand this over here. You see the battle and see what's going to win out. We've got three. We've got Republicans. We've got Democrats. We've got communism. So, right over here, you see this, 1, 2, 3. It always runs in a 1, 2, 3. And the middle rim is always the trouble rim. Now, don't try to remember that over there. Just drop those thoughts to leave an imprint on your mind. Stay with this. The pilgrimage of the Jews in the wilderness, right there. All right, they were in Canaan land to start with. Notice right here on the map, and he's got it drawn up there. They were already in Canaan land. They were already in. You can't see it out there. That's why we got a little drawing up here. They were in Canaan land already to start with, right up here in Palestine, around in here, they were already in Canaan land, and it went down here and they crossed the Red Sea. I believe it's called the Suez Canal now, isn't it? Anyway, they crossed the Red Sea. It's the same place where the Egyptians and the Jews are fighting over yonder right now. How many of you know that those Israelites over there is the children of Abraham by his true wife, Isaac? You understand what I'm saying? The Jews that are over there now represent what? Isaac, the son of promise. The country belongs to them. What did Ishmael have? Ishmael, the son of Hagar? What is it over there? Arabs. The Arabs are wrestling against the Jew. Is that right? What does that show? The flesh battling against the spirit. Isaac, the Jew, the inner man. The Arab nation on the outside, the outer man. Why did they kill Kennedy? That man come from the Arabs that killed Kennedy. How many of you know that? Because Kennedy had said he was going to help the Jews. It was that warfare. See, everything in the earth, the Bible said God creates the good, creates the evil, has his way in both, and works everything after the counsel of his own will. The law out here, you serve the law by constraint or by pleasure. If you serve it by constraint, then you don't reap the benefits of it. If you serve it by pleasure willingly to obey it, then you reap the benefits. You serve God one way or another. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. It don't matter what you do. I can take your life and break it down and show you in types and shadows that you went just exactly the way God wanted you to go. The only thing is you went by the evil spirit. The preparation of a man's heart is from God. God let evil spirits probe at you till it prepared your heart to turn a certain way. And then you're lost because you've done it by constraint. But if you say, Lord, thy will be done, the Holy Spirit, the angels will keep coming down talking to each other. They prepare your heart in the right direction, and then you'll reap the reward. So you're going to serve God one way or the other. I told Brother Junior McCullough today, I said, did you notice out here that they put up what they call the magic wand out here? After they had the St. John truck lines, God made them put up a St. John truck line out there to show the revelation that was coming. Then he called them to park that little old Mayflower truck across the street over here, comes in and parks just about every night. You ever notice it? The Mayflower come back. Then over here when we got to the potion where the revelation was to break and the man-child was to have the magic wand, then what did he do? They had him to put up the magic wand out here right in the place where the revelation was to come forth. God caused some men's heart down here to say, let's get together and have us a car wash and we'll make some money. And he will. He'll let them make some money out of it, and they'll reap it, not knowing that they went right in the hands of God. But it had to be that rod that the man-child was to rule with. You see how it's cleaning those cars out there? That hot water comes right out of there and it knocks the dirt right off of them. He had to do it. God had it just on this side of the magic wand on this side. And what is it over here on this side? Catholic Church. God had it just like he wanted it. The spirit out here in the natural over there with the Jews. Show the Jews. All right. Now then, what is this right here? We got three. We got, it broke down here from Palestine and then we crossed the Red Sea and we go right over here in the land of Egypt. Is that right? Right into the land of Egypt. Is that right? All right. Now, we're going to teach from this mountain. When we get over here now, we'll have to come back to the first rim to teach the second rim. This is still over here. Right here, they were already in Palestine, which was Canaan. They went from Palestine or Canaan land down into the land of Egypt. All right. When they got down in the land of Egypt, what did they do to go down there? They went from here down to the land of Egypt. They had to die out to this part up here, which was the first cross experience. And you say, how did the cross get in here? Find Isaac. Now, we could break down the life of Isaac and all the others, but that's good for preachers to break down because that's part. In parts, you can preach those things and bring it out. But this, the revelation, which is from start to finish here. All right. Now, you break this cross down right, break this part down here. What was this cross? How many remember the great famine down there in Egypt? Joseph. Joseph went down there. Was he sold into bondage? He went down there. That was the beginning of it. A good Pharaoh, but soon he died, the bad Pharaoh come up. After the bad Pharaoh come up, there was a man by the name of Moses born. A great preacher the other night, the child drawn out of the water. Right here, what was it? The child drawn out of the water. Jew, water rim. Is that right? The child drawn out of the water. All right, he come right down here in Egypt, and they stayed down here in Egypt 400 years. Paul spoke of it in his preaching in the New Testament. He referred back to the bondage over there because he was a revelator. And he told how he stayed in bondage. 400 years dead right down here in Egypt is where they journeyed. They were under hard bondage for 400 years. Is that right? All right, for 400 years they journeyed down in Egypt in bondage until the great deliverer come. The Bible said, I'll bring deliverers out of Zion. The great deliverer. You might say, Brother Pike, what is this you're teaching? This is just a natural type. But say, well, what is that worth to the human family that gets tired and weary and has to make a living? I tell you what, there's some deliverers that's going to take you out of this Egyptian bondage and take you to a place to where you'll never get tired no more. You'll never grow old no more. You'll never walk up to a casket and look at your dead baby or your children anymore. You'll pass over a place, Brother Taylor, to where you'll never worry anymore about making a living or having food. I know this is a fairy tale to some of you, but it's real. This is real. It's coming. It's at hand right now. We won't have to sit on hard chairs anymore. We'll be kings throughout eternal ages. You can't imagine what it's like. You can't even begin to imagine what it's like to be in a celestial place to where the sun shines within your strength and the women walking down the street, the most beautiful thing that ever set their foot on the soil or on the grounds of heaven. Just beautiful, beautiful. Breathtaking. A man walked down the street and the Bible said he'll outshine the noonday sun. A natural man couldn't even look at him. He'd be so beautiful. Strong. Standing over here like my little David was going out there on that 3,500 mile trip when Tom was with us and making that journey of the pilgrims, showing it, this Egyptian journey. Tom went through it all for about 3,500 miles, traveling, picking up Brother Ernie and so forth out there that we'll try to bring out when we get over the Protestant rim over here. And show you what's been happening. That through that journey out there, I was talking to little David. And David said, well, I get tired of this world down here. But I don't see any need of going over to another world. It's going to be like this world, so forth. But when I got through telling him some things in a childlike way, he was so excited when I got through that he wouldn't quit. He turned and him and Tom had to keep on and keep on and keep on. And I just used a few childish illustrations. Just a few childish illustrations. Like you say, like what? Like I said, David, how would you like to play leapfrog and be over here on the mountain in California and bounce over here to the mountain over here way down here in Florida? Well, he got all excited. I said, what would it be like when you was flying around a piano with a freight train and I tell you to behave yourself and put it back on the track? He said, that's foolishness. No, it's just showing you it's exactly what it is. Somebody said, well, you couldn't do that. Jesus walked right through the wall. How many believe that a God man could hold the world up with one finger? That's what Superman showed. That's why it was put into comic books to start with. There wasn't but one thing that could make Superman weak. What was it? The kryptonite from the other world, the world of spirit in his time. Is that right? Talking in the children's language now, where they can understand it. Is that right? What can make a God man weak? You stick the word up to him and see if he don't melt. That's the only thing can do it. Otherwise, you can't stop him. Ain't nothing can stand before him because he's the God child. Is that right? Oh, then that's the angelic realm up there. How many of you ever read a comic book where Superman got up there with the people from Krypton and he was just like they was? They're just as strong as he was. Sure. You take Brother Tommy, the God child, and put him out yonder among the world and they can't even touch his knowledge. They don't even know what he's like. They can't touch that super God strength within him. Put him over here with his brothers and see where he's at. It's the same thing. We could go on with the Brother Taylor brings it out somewhere, some places, the hero and the dragon. Or they got something about some story about the dragon, where the man killed the dragon. I think maybe the Catholic Church had done took him out of the picture, didn't he? They took him out of the picture. The dragon killed him, they took him out of the picture. We don't have him no more. Well, anyway, right here, in Canaan land, they were in Canaan land right here. Is this right? In the Canaan land, they took a trip down here into Egypt. All right, then they stayed down here 400 years, and after 400 years, now what did I say that God deals with the Jews in fours? After 400 years, what happened? Did he quit dealing with them in fours? He come right out here in the wilderness. Is that right? All right, when he got out in the wilderness, did he quit dealing with them in fours? Did he? Now, all right, he brought them right out here in the wilderness, and how long did they stay? 40 years. Is that right? Four up here, four here. All right, when he come way over here and Jesus come, did he quit dealing with them in fours? Jesus went out in the wilderness a day to every year, 40 years. Is that right? So then he dealt with them right on up to the cross where he ended it with Jesus. All right, now they stayed here in Egypt 400 years. Then they went out into the wilderness, and right out here in the wilderness, if Brother Taylor put me a little mountain right there and put Sinai on it. Now, you say, is there such a place as Sinai? Look right down here on the map. You see that word Sinai right there? That was a real Moses, a real man just like Brother Al Gonzalez, a flesh and blood man. That was a supernatural, anointed, illuminated God man that walked up on the Mount Sinai right here, and Almighty God Himself come and stood on a natural mountain with a natural man, and the natural mountain blazed with a natural fire until natural people around it got back away from it so afraid that they couldn't even stand to look on it. And God said, if even a rabbit gets close to this mountain, I'll kill him. Is that right? I tell you right now, the Bible said we've come unto Mount Zion and a hare can't even get close to it. Nobody can get close to this revelation. If it does, it'll kill him because it wasn't meant for them. They can't come up into this place, Brother Taylor. You know that. All right here in Mount Sinai, he went up there, and what did he do? I'm talking about something that naturally happened. We're talking about a realm over here that you understand. Natural people, natural Elijahs, natural Moses, natural Elishas, men that had double potions. This is the realm where God dealt in the natural world right here, Brother Gonzalez. This is the realm right here when God hearkened to a man's voice with the name of Joshua. Joshua looked up at the sun and said, Son, this same sun you're looking at, the same sun that shines over you that your children play out in every day, that same ball of fire. He looked up there and Joshua said, stand still. Did it do it? Sure did. That same water that we drank out there, part of that stream that comes from the Red Sea. When the God man spoke to that water out there, what did he do? He said, water, go hither and thither. We want to cross over. And what happened? It done it. All right, what does that mean? The Bible said for you and I to contend for that faith that was once given to the saints. What does that mean? That it was taken out of the water realm of the natural world, put into our angelic being over here, but someday it had to come back into this natural outer man and this natural world to where the God man once again would walk through the garden and have control of all of this world. The world is waiting and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God creates man and controls man, but man creates everything else and controls everything else. How many of you believe that we own this world? Paul said, all things are yours. Is that right? All things are yours, but you are God's. God lives in man. He controls all things through man. So everything in the world belongs to man. Adam dressed the garden. Did you know that when you preach Revelation, you're dressing the garden? You get a chicken and you dress him. You take the skin off of him. Is that right? Is that right? You take off the old dress, you put on a new one. Is that right? It's the same way. We're dressing the garden. Right here and see a tree? We don't like its form. We change it. We make it a revelation tree. We dress it. Adam was to dress the garden. That was his job. The God child. So then we can see right here, it's real plain right here, that, and I tell you what, when we get through teaching these rims, if the Lord suffers us to, we're going to take the prophecy of Daniel and positively prove that we've done come to this place with pencil and paper. I believe you can prove things by the natural. I believe God proved things by the natural. All right, so then here was a natural man. Now over here in this day, by the time Jesus come, they had done drifted so far away from the power of God, the knowledge of God, that when the Lord Jesus Christ come working miracles, that was the most astounding thing they'd ever seen. Well, there wasn't nothing astounding about it back in Moses' day. Moses done those same things that Jesus done. Somebody said, you mean to tell me Moses done what Jesus done? The Bible said, I'll raise the prophet up, speaking of Jesus, like unto Moses. Come to pass, everybody don't hear that prophet, will be cut off. Is that right? He said, lest you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Was that right? All right, right here in this area, what was it? A God man, Moses. You say, did he do what Jesus done? He certainly did do what Jesus done. As a matter of fact, he made the whole earth open up and swallow a whole army of folks. Did Elijah do what Jesus done? He just looked up and said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down and devour 50 people. Done it. Sent 50 more up there, and he upset Elijah. He didn't like it because they come up there and said, if I be a man of God, let the fire get them 50. Somebody say, you mean that a God man can just go around destroying people? I tell you what, Brother Terrell says it sometime, you better believe he can. You better believe he can. I'll tell you what, when them kids went out there and they said, go up baldy, just like that, that was a seal of doom right there. You see why we need to be afraid? You see this grace age over right here? This grace age right here, this is the only thing that keeps your children from being destroyed. After he not plead with you like you do, like I do. Right here, if you was living in this age right here, you and I both was living in this age right here, and you'd have caused just one little bit of the trouble that somebody's caused in church, he killed you that quick. That's the reason I bring out the types where it said stone them to death and all these things. To show you how much grace God's given us. I don't mean to stone the spiritual person to death. I mean your old fleshly carnal mind with the word. So the inner man can live. Stone them to death. Don't suffer the witch to live. Alright. Here, look right here now. They crossed over down into the wilderness. Moses went up into Mount Sinai. I want you to get a picture of this because when we get over here to the third dimension and we start teaching this on the third dimension, then we'll really need this right here. He went up into the mountain. He was up there with God and he got a revelation for his day. Moses. Let's say a little bit about Moses. Can you bear with me a little longer? I know you're getting tired and I'll quit. I'll be willing to quit. I would like to cover this first rim. I thought we'd leave the other two rims off. I wanted to get the all over and then cover the first rim so I could get it in 3 days. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Would that be all right? Okay, bear with me. This will be a little longer tonight because you have to go through the preliminary part of it. Now, how many of you know I didn't dream this up? I'll tell you what, if I'd have got into this, if God hadn't helped me instead of a dream, it'd been one of the worst nightmares I ever got into my life. So I didn't dream it up. I guess you see, I couldn't possibly. It wouldn't be humanly possible to dream this up. It's no wonder, Brother Taylor, that they don't have it in college. How in the world could you ever get it in college? You could never put this in books. All right, now then, right over here, Canaan land. Here is Egypt, right here. Now, somebody said, well, where is this at? It's in the mind of God. This is the mind of God. It's a God mind being given to the man child. God knows everything, everywhere, everything. He understands everything. All he has to do is call it to his remembrance. Now, he can just cast it out of darkness. I don't remember that right now. But when he gets ready, he just turns around. There it is. That's the God mind. Somebody said, oh, I can't contain all that in my head. I know you can't. You better not try to contain it all in your head, but you can contain it all in your heart. Down here in the God mind, it's got it all. Whenever the head needs it, all you got to do is knock on the door and he'll turn on the light and it'll be up there. But right here, see, Canaan land, Egypt, and the wilderness. All right, now let's talk about this just for a little bit. Moses. Why was Moses such a great leader? Why did he have so many more followers than Joshua did? You want to know why? What is the Moses realm? It's the natural realm. Is that right? The natural realm. Brother Al, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about some of the control room today. What is it? The natural realm. Is that right? All right. That means Brother Taylor is a type of Moses. Whether you believe it or not, he is. All right. Moses was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. Is that right? Moses was faithful in all of his house. How many of you believe Brother Taylor is faithful in all of his Christian life? Is that right? Moses was learning all the ways of the Egyptians. In 6 years of college, if he ain't got it, he need not start looking for it. He knows about it. Or he knows how crooked some of them are, too. That's why he chose to suffer the affliction with the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season out there with them. He saw it was for a season. I believe he was sitting on my doorstep one morning about sunrise. But anyway, right here, Brother Frank Taylor showing the type of Moses. He can substantiate what I'm fixing to say. Why do they have such a great following? Because Moses shows the ink and the paper. The word on ink and paper. Religion. All right, what did Moses do? The ink and the paper, the denominations, the natural thing which was Moses' natural religion. Drove the people out of the world. Drove them out of the world. Mohammedan religion. Is that right? Confucius religion. Every kind of religion, it showed the Mosaical regime. What did it do? When Moses went down there, he didn't ask who was baptized in Jesus' name and who wasn't baptized. He didn't say, do you believe Trinity or do you believe oneness, did he? He didn't say, are you Confucius or what are you, did he? He just told the people, he said, God sent me down here to deliver you. All right, when God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and he sent the natural word, Brother Gonzalez, the natural word in pen and paper, Brother Frank, he sent through the monks. The monks wrote it in the Catholic Church. He sent grace. He didn't care who got it. It was to let whosoever will. Moses went to let whosoever will. Is that right? Somebody said he delivered the church. No, sir, he certainly did not deliver the church. Whoever told you that Brother Branham delivered the church? He didn't do it. He wasn't called to do that. You understand what I'm saying? When we go back over there, I'll prove it to you. He couldn't possibly have done it because whatever this says, that's what that is over there. That's why God gave it. All right, now then let's just look at it. Brother Branham, stay off that part right now. Let's still be here with Moses. We're over here in Moses. All right, then Moses, which is the natural letter, what does it do? You've heard me say that Brother Taylor carried a type of death. How many of you ever heard me say that? Yes, sir, wherever he goes, there's death. Why? Because the letter killeth the law. The law killeth. Moses represented death. That law, Brother Taylor, showed that tree of knowledge in the garden. What did the tree of knowledge do? I was over in Indiana one time, I was preaching, and I said something about the law showing the tree of death, and a man, a German Bible scholar, one of the greatest I ever heard in my life, he jumped up in the congregation and said, wait a minute, it was his church. But I couldn't wait a minute then. He done waited too late. He done got me up there. He ought to have kept me out to start with. But he jumped up in the middle of that congregation and said, wait a minute, that ain't right. The Bible said not to rebuke an elder. I didn't get mad, but I just turned around and said, sir, you're out of order. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sit down. When I'm finished, then you can take over. God's not the author of confusion. Well, by the time I finished, he'd lost his whole church. They were ready to leave him. He got up there and was going to explain what he thought about it. They didn't care what he thought about it because I've done taken it over here and proved that what I said was right. I said, when I get through, if I'm wrong, then you can tell me. And he was a great man, a loving man, and a smart man. Of course, I lost a translation in German by doing it. He was going to translate some tracts for me. But anyway, Moses was the intellectual thing which was shown by the Germans. Smartest people in the world. All right, now then, we'll get to that later. But Moses, what is Moses? It's the natural religious deliverance that comes out of the world. Even the Amish people go along with it. That's a religion too. That is the natural religious deliverance from the world into the religions of the world. And the religions of the world is the wilderness. The world is Egypt with its garlic and onions. So then, naturally, Moses had a great following. He didn't require nothing. That's the reason these men shout like they do and jump and sing like they do. They don't require nothing. It's God's grace to them. They're not delivering the church. They're sent to win sinners into the kingdom of God and to convert people. All they do is get people out in the wilderness. You might not believe that, but that's the truth. You follow them, and then as they pass on, you see if you don't stay in the wilderness. Brother Branham was one of the greatest that ever lived, and where did he leave the people? Absolutely in the wilderness. He had them in a worse wilderness than anybody else, Brother Ernie, when he finished. I know that's kind of hard to understand. I love him. That's basically kind of hard for Brother Ernie to understand. But he did, Brother. Moses, he was a great man. Brother Branham had ocean of revelation in him, Brother Ernie. He had oceans of revelation. He could have swallowed me up. But the thing is, he never did get it to the people. All they got was a little form of rain, which was a few raindrops. That's all they ever got. They didn't get it. How many of you know that when Moses went up into the mountain right here, he got a covenant up there? After he got that covenant, did anybody keep it? Well, who can keep the natural letter of the Bible? That's the law. You can't keep the natural letter of the Bible. That's impossible. Somebody said, well, we know we can keep it. Whoever kept it? Somebody said, I kept it. Well, you ought to know better than that. Nobody ever kept the law but Jesus. The Christ, the hope of glory within you, was the one that kept it. If you think you kept it, then get Jesus out and you start living by it and see how far you get. Like Brother Junior said out there today, he feels like he's done backslid and lost out with God. Why? I'll tell you one thing, you can't keep it. You get a case of do better and see how far you go. You turn over a new leaf. It takes one thing, the divine nature of Jesus Christ. This is why Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of angels, and you can speak in tongues, though I give my body to be burned, though I have all knowledge, understand all mysteries, he said, that won't do no good. You still can't live a Christian life. There's men that get up here that cast out devils that don't live a Christian life. You say, you mean they got the power? I didn't say they had the power to cast them out. They cast them out on the strength of your faith. But they pull the wool over your eyes. In other words, what I'm trying to say is those intellectual scholars of today that's in seminary, that's the Moses of today. And they got the greatest following in the world, and none of them don't live right. That's a pretty strong statement, ain't it? I said that not any of them live right. Not a one of them. You say, Brother Pike, you mean out of every one of them, ain't nobody living right. Not one of them. That's pretty strong, ain't it? Brother Beatsy, he's willing to accept that. He's been among the army's people, and I guess they're about the closest anybody I know of. So then what is it? They can't live right. Why can't they live right? There's no way you can live right. You got to have the Spirit of God, and they haven't got the Spirit of God. Moses didn't give them the Spirit of God when he went down in Egypt. All he did was give them signs and wonders and miracles to catch their attention, to get them out here into the wilderness, to where God could give them the Spirit of the Lord. You got to come out of the world, repent of your sins, get converted, and come out of the world before God can ever even give you a Spirit. What is God's Spirit? It's the word of revelation. Somebody said, well, it looks to me like you're going to be a mighty poor, mighty little crowd here that's going to get a hold of it. Well, in the days of Noah, there's just a little crowd, about 8 folks. In the days when Moses got through, there wasn't but 2 people. I got a feeling, Brother Branham said he wouldn't be but just a handful when we got through. I'll tell you, when we get down to the end of this teaching, if the Lord help us, I'm going to show you something if you've probably already seen it. But I'm going to show you who's got the Holy Ghost and who ain't got the Holy Ghost, and you're going to be shocked. The Holy Ghost is something altogether different from what you think it is. Being baptized with the Holy Ghost is something altogether different. So you know the Holy Ghost is the third stage of it. We'll see how many's gone through the third stage. Praise the Lord. All right, if you get tired now, we'll knock off. I'm trying to watch as much as I can. You might say, well, this show is taking you a long time. Well, Paul was a revelationist, and he didn't have to teach all night. That's the only way the church could get it. But I will stop. If you get tired, I'll stop. I'll do what I can to work with you. All right, now then. So we see then that the Mosaical age is only the age of preaching the natural word. That's all it is. It's the law, and nobody don't keep it. They put on lipstick and paint and powder, and they shout and they dance, and they live just any old way. But the Lord Jesus knew that that would happen. He knew that that would happen. Is that right? The Bible said from Adam until Moses, what was it? It was grace. Every man went to his own way. He done like he wanted to. God didn't require nothing of him. Moses took the notion to kill some men down there and hide them in the sand. What did he do? He killed them. And went right on in the same. Moses come down off the mountain and said, "Thou shalt not kill." When he done went over and killed a fellow. But he done it in the days of grace. So what I'm trying to say is, the law is what God's been trying to establish all the time. You understand what I'm saying? Now what? Why? From Adam until the law, people had grace. But when the law came, they had to get right with God. Is that right? So what is it from law to law, which means from God to God? Well, God hasn't changed any. We know that God hasn't changed. How could God change? Well, when you look at grace, the way preachers preach grace of today, you'd think God had done changed all around and he was going to conform to our desires. And that when we get to heaven, he's going to be what we are. Well, that's wrong. When you preach that, that's exactly backwards, just like I said to this room right here. God isn't going to conform to your feelings and your idea. Somebody, a man come to me one time, Dad, and he said, "I didn't figure this thing out." I said, "What is it?" He was a deacon. He said, "God's going to save us in spite of ourselves." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" Or that was yesterday. "Well, in spite of all that we do, God's going to save us anyway. He's just got so much love for us, he's going to take us anyway." Yeah, he is all right. I'll tell you one thing. You remember what I said. He put Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, within you and gave you strength to fulfill the law. You can't do it. But Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in you, can do it and will do it. And you're going to be saved by that grace of God, which is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in you, fulfilling the law. That's what you're going to be saved by grace. But you can't preach grace in such a way that God's going to conform to us and let us get by with our evil ways. He's not going to do it. You preach grace that it's a time to where you can repent of your sin and then get right with the law of God. All right. Let's go back over here now and see. I know that's like taking the pleats out of a skirt, but that's the way it is. Back over here in this age, what was the law? It was a symbol in the garden of knowledge. You want me to prove it to you? To learn the Word of God in seminary, to learn the Word of God under these ministers and preaching the way they are doing, to learn the Word of God and not to come to the Spirit of God, means that the judgments of God's upon you because you know to do good and don't do it. Judgment beginning at the house of God, and it's a tree of death to you, and it's going to condemn you in the last day and going to destroy you. To get a knowledge of God is to be destroyed. Before the people from Adam unto Moses got a knowledge of God, God did not require them of it, or required of them. To know to do good, to do it not, it is a sin. Is that right? It is a sin. So when they got the law and they knew to do good, what happened? They didn't do it and the serpents began to bite them. What's the matter with the people today? Why have you got cancer and TB and paralysis and all these other things? The serpents are biting. That's what it is. You're in the wilderness. Denominational wilderness. Now then, where is Moses? They said, "Where is that man Moses? He's got us out here in the wilderness. We're about to die." Somebody said, "Brother Branham got us out here. What anywhere else happened to him?" He's still around. Somebody said, "Well, where is he at?" Out in the wilderness. You don't come out of the wilderness until 1970. Right about now is when you come out of the wilderness. Well, where is Moses? Where is he? He's still around. You might not believe he is, but he is. All right, then what happened to the people that was out in the wilderness? Moses wasn't called to take them out of the wilderness to start with. Moses was called to take them out of Egypt. Is that right, Brother Ernie? Somebody said, "Moses was called to lead the church right into Canaan land." No, sir, he certainly was not. He was called to lead them out of Egypt into the wilderness. Where did Brother Branham take them? We'll get into it later and see. He was called. He was a great deliverer. He was a great Mosaic, Ezekiel deliverer. That was a great thing. Moses was one of the greatest. And today the intellectuals are one of the greatest in the world. The natural aspect of it, which is Moses. This is natural. They're faithful in all of their house. You believe it? Yes, sir. They wear lipstick and they paint their faces and they do the bebop and they go swimming in anything they can think of. It. Well, if they can't think of something, they'll find somebody can give them something. You say you're mocking Moses. No, I'm mocking the antitype of Moses, the Antichrist. They're faithful in everything they do. You give them the natural education, they'll keep it right down to the letter. If they have to shoot at the moon and starve while starving people over yonder, starve to death. While Mexico goes hungry, Africa goes hungry, they'll be so faithful in that pattern of that natural knowledge from that tree of knowledge until they'll shoot at the moon and let people starve to death. They're faithful in it. They'll have starve the youngins to death to see that they get a diploma and send them to college. The child can want to go anywhere. They'll stick him in college and make him go to college. They're faithful in all their house. So then Moses was faithful in all of God's house. But in the natural, they're faithful, and they sure got a following, the greatest in the world. You got all kind of religions. But now, when you come to the second step of it, they went down here into Egypt. Moses brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness. Is that right? All right, he brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness. When they went over here to the second step of it, Moses went up into Mount Sinai. He got the law, but did anybody keep it? No, they broke it. He came down off the mountain, and what was they doing? It was shouting over a golden calf. Aaron, which was the priesthood, while the Moses of God was getting revelation up here, Aaron, which was the preachers that was left with them down here, was down here seeing what kind of tractors they could get and what kind of television programs they could get. And they done got Aaron so upset that he decided, if I can't whip them, I'll join them. That's what the Bible teaches. He joined them. He got out there, they said, make us a golden calf. So he made them a golden calf. These preachers was good men. They come in here to preach the gospel to you. And you decided you was going to shout, I said, well, if we can't whip you, we'll join you. We'll shout with you. So they said, folks said, well, we want a golden calf. I said, okay, we'll make you a golden calf. And that's what they've been doing. They've been shouting over gold and silver ever since. But I'll tell you what, they broke that covenant. They broke that covenant. Brother Branham knew that they broke it. They broke it. But then God returned to the mount again. He returned to the mount again for that second covenant. The first covenant was law. He returned to get grace so that they couldn't break it. Is that right? He returned to get grace. That second covenant was not broken. You can't break grace. How in the world are you going to break grace? The Bible said where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. You get more sin, you got more grace. Get more sin, you got more grace. Get more sin, you got more grace. Ain't no way to break grace. So then they brought the second covenant down. But I'll tell you, right here Moses was not going to take them into Canaan land. You can listen to those preachers preach from now till Jesus comes. You can listen to the intellectuals of the day preach, but they'll never take you into the Canaan land of God, which is eternal life. They brought you into a wilderness, and what's happening to them? Brother Roberts is withering up. You'll get into the tree at the Lord's will, I hope, maybe tomorrow night, and you'll see that all they did was got you into the wilderness, and they, just like Brother Branham and the rest, had to go because that was their age. Why was it that Moses had a greater following than Joshua? Because Moses was sent to the people to draw whosoever will out. That was the first step. But when Joshua come, he was to take a people out of a people for the name's sake of Christ. How many did he get? One. Caleb. That's all he ever got. How many have we got in here tonight out of the intellectual world? How many men got 6 years of college in here? How many we got? He didn't give a one. That's all it was. That's all it was. So then, I know we're just using types. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, then we got one. He went over there to get it. He got one. That's all he ever got. Now then, Joshua come right along, right here, and he picked up the church, which was one. Now, I made the statement. Everyone that followed Moses died with him. You say, well, Brother Ernie's here. Yeah, but he wasn't born to Moses. If he'd have been born to Moses, he'd died with Moses. Every one of his followers died with him. Somebody said, they'll come on. No, they won't. You show me in the Bible where one of them ever went over. Every one of them died with them, but who? Caleb, Joshua, and them was the two leaders. The whole church died with them. Every one of his followers went down with him. But the ones that he preached to, those fathers preached to somebody and gave birth to some children. And those spiritual children was raised up, and they're going in. Did you know that around Cedar View and these other places in the type in here, they rejected this message? But did you know today, one stood right outside, right out here, Gene Sullivan, one of the children of it, standing out there smoking a cigar, said, I've been wanting to come to church down here. Brother Young's boy, the deacon of the church down here, come up here the other day, we got some light bulbs in here, he give us. He was wanting to come to church. What is the children are coming in? The children of the people are coming in. You follow me? You understand what I'm saying? So then Brother Branham's followers died. They died. Every one of them died with him. That's right. You'll see a little later when we get over there. So then Moses was not sent to deliver the children of Israel. Not out into the Canaan land. He was to bring them across the Red Sea. That's all. And then they were to get right here in the wilderness. And they were to die in the wilderness. Right there. About 6 million people, I believe, died right there in the wilderness. They wander around in circles. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you believe that God would let the Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Church of God, I don't know where you got 6 million in all of them or not. Sure, he'll let them die. He'll let everyone die. If he don't do it, he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said, few there be that find it. They're going to die. All right? Then it's obvious that they crossed the Red Sea, and that was all they ever done. They got across the Red Sea right there. Then Joshua picked them up right here. And after he picked them up, what did he do? He crossed Jordan with them. When we get into the third aspect of it, we'll go through that again to show you what we mean. But we want to get the natural right now. Went right there and crossed over Jordan. When he crossed over Jordan, he went into Canaan land. And who was their first leader? Joshua was their first ruler where? In Canaan land. Is that right? Washington, here in the second rim. Washington in the second rim. Brother Branham over here in the third rim. Washington in the second rim right here. He helped them. He fought with them as a general, but who became their first leader? Washington. Washington did. That's the political. This is agricultural. That's the political. And this is the religious over here. Is that right?